You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Sutter from MLB.com, here to talk to Corey Brock, who has been covering the Padres for as long as I can remember. And never have expectations been so great for the Padres, but the actual play lately has been sort of what we've seen from the Padres the past year. So not to dump all over them, Corey, but things aren't looking so great for the Padres in recent times.
Yeah, they just can't really string together any victories in terms of backing a good game up with another good game. Kind of a lot of variables here in the early part of the year. The offense generally has been pretty good. You know, a lot of swing and miss in that lineup, so they are prone to some shutouts once in a while. But it's mostly the pitching at this point that is sort of been the head scratcher, I guess, is the best way to put it. For the first time the other day, Tyson Ross and James Shields went back-to-back seven innings. That's the first time they've done that since April 14th and 15th, and that's not something this staff is accustomed to and not something that this group is accustomed to. I mean, they feel like they have the right guys in the rotation. They're just not getting a whole lot of deep starts. That stresses the bullpen and, leads to all sorts of bad things. So, you know, we could talk about the defense. Maybe hasn't been as good. The bullpen's been a little bit better of late. Matt Kemp has really struggled in the month of May. But I think it really all starts with the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this, ad nauseum. And I understand that things don't change that drastically from week to week. But I think that the surprising thing for everyone is just that they have the second highest home run rate for the pitchers and allowing home runs in Major League Baseball. And it's not so much because of the individual pitchers as much as the surprise is just where they pitch. Petco Park, as much as it is more of a fair ballpark than maybe it used to be, it's still not a home run haven. So that's got to be shocking for everybody.
Yeah, and I think they're taking a look at this from a lot of different angles. And it's the Padres are hitting a lot of home runs here, as are opponents. And the ballpark's always sort of favored the pitcher. It's been spacious. We have that marine layer we talk about in April and May. But what's funny is we haven't the weather's been a setter where we haven't had that dense marine layer to really cut down on the travel of the ball. Let's say in April, May after 8 o'clock at night is usually when you see that roll in off the Pacific. We haven't seen a whole lot of that. I'm sure they're looking at some of the wind patterns as well. They put up this mammoth scoreboard, the largest scoreboard in the National League in left field. Maybe that's leading to, changing some of the wind patterns a little bit. I sound like a meteorologist here, so I'm a little bit out of my area of expertise here. But, I think they're surprised by it. They're just not accustomed to this. This pitching staff isn't, I have some guys that certainly throw hard. When you square those guys up, sometimes the ball goes far. I'll use James Shields as an example. He's always given up a lot of home runs. But they're well ahead of the pace they were last year. I wouldn't describe the rate as alarming, but it's probably approaching that. I just have to think that these guys are going to be better eventually.
Yeah, and the one thing that we sort of knew going into the season, and I don't want to say we glossed over it, but I don't know if we spent enough time really talking about it. It was that the defense in the outfield was not going to be good. And that was kind of expected in that it's just a very spacious outfield and you have Upton, Kemp, and Myers. And that didn't exactly, scream great defense. So I guess them being the second to last in the National League in defensive runs saved, that's not a shocker at this point.
Yeah, and it's, we talked about this, Allison, even going as far back as spring training, trying to project what that, how the outfield defense would sort of play. And just sort of with the understanding that if you're making these upgrades to your roster with an eye on improving the offense, sometimes you have to live with some of those defensive warts a little bit. Will Myers, playing center field for the first time, struggled at times and did a nice job going after some balls. But playing in a big outfield in San Diego and the National League West, where you have some big center fields, that's probably just going to take time to settle in. Now, we saw him move to first base when Yonder Alonso got hurt. And he responded really well over there. I mean, this guy played some third base coming up in the minors. you know, good athlete, you know, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see him over at first base when he comes off the disabled list, continue to stay there. So that's something you're going to have to figure out moving forward. But, you know, yeah, with Upton, Upton's been fine and left. You know, Kemp has struggled a little bit defensively. Had a ball go over his head the other day that he made a bad read on. He came in instead of breaking back. But, you know, these things happen to all, you know, all sorts of outfielders, regardless of your, you know, whatever your metrics tell you, how good you are defensively. So, yeah, it's really been, it's kind of what we thought, that, you know, they would struggle defensively a little bit, but how much would it really cost them?
Yeah, and now we have to touch on a subject that I really don't want to talk about, but Spud Black's name has been coming up a lot, and this kind of makes me mad, because, of course, there's now speculation that his job might be in jeopardy. And really, you have to look at it because he is just signed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he is just signed through 2015. I believe they picked up his option but didn't go further than that. And so this is what kind of makes me mad. This was a team that was had a totally different look, and they definitely improved in areas, but it was also a team, and we talked about this, that could turn out to be hugely disappointing. And that's why it was such an intriguing team, because we didn't know which way it was going to go. And I really do feel that they're going to, you know, they have a couple of really good runs in them, and that they're going to be okay. But I feel like, I don't know that you can blame the manager for this, or that, like, if you made a managerial change, like, all of a sudden it would just totally change the atmosphere and the environment and make everybody, you know, play better and play harder and be happier. I mean, Bud Black is a very good manager. So is it because writers have to come up with, you know, managers that are on the hot seat at this point in a season that they have to bring him up? Or do you think there's something more to it than that?
Well, yeah, you know, I think his contract status is as such, as you mentioned, that, you know, this is his, you know, they have to do something with him at some point here. You either have to re-up him or you have to let him go. He's signed through the season. You don't want to let a guy twist in the wind too long. He's mentioned, you know, he's fine with this. He gets it. He understands. He's been around the game long enough to know how this sort of works. And, you know, yeah, when the manager gets fired anywhere, it's never really his fault, per se. I mean, the old adage, you can't fire the team, right? I mean, it's 25 guys in there. And, you know, I think by and large, that, you know, especially on the pitching side, that these guys are underperforming. And, you know, there's going to be some marked improvements moving forward, just because these guys have done it before. And, you know, it will consequently will be better. And this is a better than a 500 team. You know, I don't know if anyone ever pegged these guys really to, if they're going to go out and win 90 games and storm through the National League West. I always thought the Dodgers were the class of the division. That's kind of held up, even despite their injuries. They've kind of weathered the storm there. They're really good. You know, I think with the second wild card, I think the Padres are right there, but and will be right there as we move into September. But, dependent on the manager, it's unfair. I mean, this is a guy I've been around for 9 years, and I sort of have an understanding how he works and how he handles personalities and manages people as much as he does manage players. He's an extremely bright individual, understands pitching, understands the roster, understands hitting, become better in terms of that. But, it'd be a big loss. And, you know, and I would ask anyone that, okay, if you want to pin this on Bud Black and you want to let him go, who are you going to replace him with? And what's that expectation going to be? Do you really think you could do better than him? And I have to think that answer is a resounding no.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the old saying, okay, the general manager, he wants his own guy. Well, if that was, if that was the case, and I'm just, you know, speculating here. I mean, Bud Black has not been fired, and he's, you know, employed, and as far as I know, he will continue to be. But, I mean, the time to, if you want your own guy, the time to maybe put in your own guy would be when you're hired and you're, you know, able to do what you want to do. And I just feel like, you know, a lot of this is on A.J. Preller, and again, things could improve. But, I mean, if he were to fire the manager, it'd be like, you know, him putting his arms in the air and saying, hey, this isn't my fault, you know, when this is largely his responsibility, I think, more than anybody's.
Yeah, because, you know, the manager doesn't assemble the team. He doesn't, you know, look at these parts in the off season and decide, hey, we need to trade for Matt Kemp. We need to trade for Justin Upton. I mean, he has a say in ultimately some moves that are made. But this is, you know, this is constructed. The lineup, or the roster, I should say, is constructed by the general manager. And I think if, you know, they ever reached a point, where they felt like they had to, where they made a change. I think everyone's culpable. You know, I don't think you could just pin it on one person. I think that's extremely unfair in this environment.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you talking me down from the ledge, and I'm all filled with angst at the thought of Betty Black getting fired. So I'm just going to calm down a little bit and let this whole thing play out. So, Corey, thank you so much. Thanks for listening, Corey. And we'll talk to you next week.
Allison, I'm always here for you.
Thank you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.